Playoffs? We'll talk about playoffs. Playoffs.
You got barbecue back there. Hurt my feelings.
I'm here with my family.
You kidding me? Playoffs.
Howdy, guys.
I just hope we can win a game.
Welcome back to another episode of Gridiron Jabroni. Per usual, I'm your host, Jabroni Kev. Kayfabe Kev. Call me what you want. I don't care, but you can find me on all social medias at Jabroni Kev, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, yada, yada, yada. Welcome back to Gridiron Jabroni, though, to the program. Episode 14, the Ryan Fitzpatrick episode. Shout out to the bearded legend. Too bad he'll never make it to the Hall of Fame. Episode 14, I know what you're thinking. Damn, back-to-back episodes. How'd you do it? Can't believe it. I can't believe it either, to be honest. Two weeks in a row. But we're here. It's still the off season. I do have a list for you guys. We got a lot to cover today. A little outside of the box. It's a lot of yapping. Life updates. Me and Debo are chilling. Sorry, Debo and I are chilling. Not much has been going on recently. Sports world's been kind of slow. Dang, college basketball was crazy this weekend. A&M looks bad. Buzz Williams probably on the hot seat. Purdue. Yeah, he got upset recently. That was interesting. Nah, Texas. Texas got pretty beat up on Saturday. I'm trying to just think of Duke. We'll get to that. The Duke-Wake Forest thing, which wasn't even a big deal. But, I mean, it's a big deal. But we'll get to it. Cam Newton got jumped 7-on-7. Cam Newton was at like a 7-on-7 tournament for the youth. Kind of doing his little volunteering, whatever. He was not in the wrong here. I'm on Cam Newton's side. Got jumped. The most impressive thing about the Cam Newton getting jumped, for one, imagine you and your bros thinking, let's go to the 7-on-7 tournament, jump Cam Newton. I don't know where that thought process went. The hat. I want to talk about the hat he was wearing. It was like a, imagine a fedora with no top. It was a golf hat. It was a visor, really. It was a fedora visor so his hair could stick out. Got jumped in one, which I think was a crazy. The odds on that, probably like plus 350 for Cam Newton winning that. The headlock, I don't know. Put the video on here. The hat is the most important. The fit, first off, timeout. Let's pause on the fit. Look at the hat. Hat never falls. Hat never moves. The hat felt like an RPG, maybe like a Skyrim helmet, you know, gives him plus 8 balance, plus 8 durability, plus 8 hand-to-hand combat. Helped him out there. That was really impressive. What else happened this week? What else is on the recent events news that I'm not going to cover any NHL today. I do want to talk about Patrick Kane, former Chicago Blackhawk, current Red Wing, returned to Chicago and beat Chicago in overtime. And classic Patrick Kane, NHL, storybook mode. And I feel like hockey is that one sport where you see a lot of storybook endings, storybook situations. Not hating. I'm here for it. I just don't know if that's a hot take or if that's a common experience with everyone else. You feel like there's a lot of storybook endings or, you know, situations like that. For example, going back to Chicago and beating Chicago in overtime. Cool. A little dramatic. Could tone it down a little bit, but a little dramatic. But I'm cool. I'm here for it. off season. Later in the episode, I will talk about some events coming up in the NFL, some timeline events. But for the off season, I've been thinking about what I want to do. I kind of want to have something stupid planned. I do have a preview that I'm going to kind of talk about and peek. We're going to peek a lot of things this episode. Kind of preview a lot of previews this episode, if that makes sense. Because we have to fill in the gaps while we're waiting on the draft and, you know, all these big moves. It's kind of a silent in the football world right now. Spring training is going to start up soon. Spring games will be here, be around sooner than we know it. So for now, it's kind of silent. We have to fill in the gaps. I want to stay productive. I want to keep putting out some content while the creativity train is going, you know. So we have some plans. I don't know. I have one really wild plan that I will record and work on as much as I can until I feel like this is stupid, because I feel like it's stupid. And if it doesn't work out, we will talk about it in the future. But if I do feel confident in it and I put it out, I think it'll be dumb. So I apologize about it in advance. You'll know it when it comes out. YouTube, I want to make a YouTube, but I don't record my videos. Like, you know, I don't make a video content. It's just audio. I've said it so many times. I'm a one-man team. Like, you can't expect much from me. I can't say that. You can expect a lot from me. Right now, I don't think I'm ready for video content, but I do want to do a YouTube just to start making videos. I just feel like I don't know what type of videos I want to make. Maybe NFL previews, pay-per-view previews, big event previews. I don't know. We'll do that in the future. We'll look into that. But just know that is coming, possibly. We'll talk about that. I don't know. I'm just at least bringing it up so you're aware of the possibility of that coming up in the future. This weekend, let's start with this weekend and what happened this weekend. This weekend, a lot of people, especially if you're a sports fan or a football fan like me, if you're a football guy, this weekend was NASCAR's weekend, surprisingly. And we talk about the NFL being scripted and the NBA being rigged. Can we talk about NASCAR straight up stealing a Pixar scene? Just straight up stealing a Disney ending with that Piston Cup. It wasn't even the Piston Cup. It was the beginning of Cars 1, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that happened at the Ambetter Health 400, Atlanta World Speedway. Daniel Suarez, Mexican pride, baby. Shout out Daniel Suarez, Mexicano. I stand up. Won the Ambetter Health 400 in Atlanta with a photo finish. A photo finish, a three-lane. Daniel Suarez got that three-lane wide photo finish at the final four, or the final three in the final lap in the Heath 400, or the Amber Header. Sorry. Fuck. Daniel Suarez ended up pulling off a three-lane wide photo finish at the Ambetter Health 400 in Atlanta this weekend. .0007 of a second photo finish. I'm talking about they were right there. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. Right there. And it took a lot of people by storm. I'll be honest. A lot of people were talking about it on the XYZ. So being the casual football fan, the partaker in an F1 race once or twice a season, I decide, and being the journalist I am, I decided to sit down and watch the NASCAR race for you guys. I watched it so you guys don't have to, and here's what I got from the race. Three stages, so didn't know that was a thing, just thought they did 500 laps, right? 400 miles, so however many laps. Just thought that was the case. But they did three stages. And apparently stage one was the not apparently, I'm telling y'all. Stage one was the most boring ass stage we've ever seen. Two wrecks, two like non like collision wreck, like two of the most boring crashes. The most boring stage with the most boring crashes with the most slowed like in, like beginning of a race. And then Michael McDowell wins it. So I'm like, oh, cool. That's significant, right? Wrong. He doesn't even end up winning the race. I think it just gives him points. I think he gets like 10 points, right? Something like that. Stage two. A couple more boring crashes. I think one more boring crash. Have you ever seen... Okay. And I got to be honest. When I was watching this, the only NASCAR drivers I know that are still active... I know there was, like, a Kevin Hendricks. I don't even think he races anymore. There's Joey Logano. There's Chase Elliott. There's Danny Hamlin. There's Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch's son. That's all I know. And you know who went out this race? Danny Hamlin, Joey Logano, Chase Elliott all crashed out. And imagine watching this race. And imagine, look, they showed it. They showed watching a NASCAR fan watch their favorite driver wreck is the most tragic thing I think I've ever seen. Especially like when they're someone big like Joey Logano. They showed a clip of Joey Logano crashing out, I think in stage two or stage three. They pan over to the fan, and the fan reminded me so much, the fan and Joey Logano gear, reminded me so much of the same guy. Pan showed the same clip of the guy at WrestleMania when The Undertaker lost his streak. That's what the NASCAR fans reminded me of. NASCAR fans remind me a lot of passionate wrestling fans with the like to me, seeing Danny Hamlin, Joey Logano, and Chase Elliott crash was like watching Cena, Orton, and Rey Mysterio all like get eliminated, and these new guys, and you got fucking Alberto Del Rio with Daniel Suarez winning in a photo finish. It was very dramatic. It was like dramatic if you make it dramatic, because overall, boring. It was very boring. I mean, I don't want to say it was very boring. It was just not my thing. Can we say that? I prefer Monster Jam. You have to understand where I'm coming from when I'm comparing NASCAR fans to wrestling fans. They both have that like cult following, that very passionate cult following. And I get it. I get NASCAR fans. It is exciting when your racer is good, but imagine being... I don't know. Danny Hamlin wasn't even... No one really... It wasn't exciting because no one I knew won. And I think that's what sucks. And I'm... Look, we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but I'm a fan of bad teams. So keeping that trend going, being a fan of a bad racer, it doesn't work like that. You can't really be a fan of a bad racer because it's not fun to watch. Being a fan of a bad team, you can still have some fun, but you can't be a fan of a bad racer. And... with Monster Jam, at least they do flips and shit. That's cool. You ever seen Gravedigger do a backflip? You ever seen Maximum Destruction do a front flip? You ever seen one of them do like a wheelie and almost fall, or like, you know, land on their back and then flip over? Just insert a freaking Monster Jam Max D versus Gravedigger clip right here. Sold. Give me a couple beers and some earplugs to save... Safety first. Got to protect the ears. And some earplugs. I'm sold, brother. Prefer Monster Jam. Overall, I would watch highlights if I was really trying to get in NASCAR. I tried looking up their playoff system and their point system. So confusing. I don't know. And every race isn't going to be like this. Every race is not going to have this Lightning McQueen-ass finish. This Piston Cup-ass finish. It felt very Disney-esque, very, very ESPN-y of them. But that is what most people were talking about this weekend on the X. If you weren't talking about that, maybe you were like me, waking up at 5 a.m. to watch the Elimination Chamber. Perth, Australia, Elimination Chamber. Started off, I'll give you all a quick rundown. Women's tag team match, boring. No one gives a fuck about that. No one gives a hoot about that division. The Women's Elimination Chamber, arguably the best Elimination Chamber match of the night. Arguably the best Elimination Chamber of the last like 4 or 5 years. The biggest takeaway I got from this, other than them forcing Becky Lynch down our throat, who, well, I will admit, is the best option of everybody. But Tiffany Stratton, who came out of nowhere recently, gives me very LA Knight vibes. I don't know if anyone else is catching that. As far as like the fans are pushing this person, and it wasn't really, I don't know, obviously you don't plan for any character to flop, but I don't think they planned for Tiffany Stratton for Tiffy time. I don't think the WWE necessarily planned for Tiffy time to take off like it's been taking off. For fans to be chanting Tiffy time when Tiffany Stratton comes out. When Australia, for Australia to have, at least on screen, a louder pop for Tiffy time than they did for their own Rhea Ripley in the main event. And I just hope they don't fumble. Let's see where this goes. Let's see how much hype she continues to keep. But if she continues going into WrestleMania or after WrestleMania to continue to be hyped like this, let's not waste this opportunity on someone young. LA Knight, I get it. LA Knight's old. Okay, I would understand the argument about not wanting to push him. But Tiffany Stratton is young and has grown men chanting Tiffy time. Do you not see the golden opportunity you have in your hand? And she's talented. She's a gymnast. Did you see that somersault turnbuckle back fucking flip thing? That was the most impressive move I've seen. She did a swanton bomb off the fucking cell. The pod. It was crazy. She did a swanton bomb. She pulled a Jeff Hardy off the pod and did it better than Jeff Hardy probably could have. I was impressed. I was chanting Tiffy time. But I get why Becky Lynch won. The tag team match, the men's tag team match. I was more entertained by Dominic Mysterio than I was by Finn and Damian. It's a damn shame because Finn and Damian are two great athletes who I feel like are being wasted with this dumbass unified tag team belts. Hunter, just admit you fucked up, bro. All right, maybe they didn't fuck up. They got a plan. I'm cussing a lot this episode. I'm sorry, guys. Just admit you messed up a little bit. Just get the belts off of them. Do something with Damian, and don't waste that money in the bank on Gunther. That is going to piss me off so much if we get a back-to-back money in the bank wasted on a minor belt. You know that money in the bank is meant for a major belt. Don't dilute it to something it's not. Don't dilute it like that, like you did with Austin Theory last year. Let that man cash it in at WrestleMania on Drew McIntyre and have Drew McIntyre go through the biggest heel run of his life. Give Damian a month or two with the belt. And then afterwards, or while he has the belt, have Drew go on a tirade, the biggest heel of his life, become champion. Defend the belt at SummerSlam against CM Punk. But I'm just a delusional fan. What do I know? The tag team match sucked. I don't like the tag team matches. That street fight was better. That street fight on Monday Night Raw was way better than that Sunday tag team match or that Saturday tag team match. Let's see. Oh, and then, of course, the Elimination Chamber, the men's one. Logan Paul, who I said in the last episode, I vocalized my frustrations with Logan Paul in the last episode. Same thing here. I was pissed. I'm a grown man who was pissed at 8 in the morning when Logan Paul just killed the momentum. All right, let's. AJ Styles flying all the way to Australia. I know it's fake. Let's stay in kayfabe here. Kayfabe Kev locking in. Kayfabe Kev locking in. Ready? AJ Styles flying all the way to Australia just to beat the shit out of LA Knight is the most petty thing I've ever seen. That is the most heel thing I think I've seen in a long time. And don't get me wrong, I hear Dominic getting booed so loud he can't even get a word out the mic. But the flying to Australia, if you are in kayfabe like you should be when you watch wrestling, and if you are in the lore, you understand that that was crazy for no reason. Kevin Owens had the most impressive moveset of the night. It was a shame that he got eliminated before Logan Paul. I think Kevin Owens should have been the one that knocked out Randy Orton. I think we should be getting a Kevin Owens-Randy Orton WrestleMania match. Forget Logan Paul. I don't know why he even... I'm just an old man. I feel like a boomer because I'm not here for the Logan Paul best. I think you could have had that whole situation happen without Logan Paul, and if you would have just gave Kevin Owens the man to eliminate Randy Orton or knock out Randy Orton or give Randy Orton the stunner, like, as he's walking away. You know what I'm saying? Just something different. Just not Logan Paul. It gives it a childish look, in my opinion. Regardless, Drew McIntyre won. I don't know what they're going to do with Logan Paul. He still has the United States belt. You knew he wasn't going to win. I felt like he was just in there, like, because what, contract? What was it for? I don't know. Regardless, Drew McIntyre deserved the belt. I think he did. Or he deserves the opportunity at WrestleMania. Seth and Drew, we've seen it before. We'll see it again. It'll be a good match. You know it's going to be a good match. It's a safe match. Will Damian do something? Will Damian cash in? Possibly. Nia Jax, Rhea Ripley. Predictable-ass match. Rhea Ripley's not losing in her hometown, in her home country. First time she's been in her home country. She's not losing to fucking Frank the Tank, to fucking the refrigerator Nia Jax, to Mattress Mac over here, to Stave Puff Marshmallow Man, to Samoa Joe over here, to who's the guy from Moana? You're welcome, that guy. And I'm not body shaming. I'm wrestling shaming. Because Nia Jax moves like a Lego. Nia Jax moves like a brick. Nia Jax moves like Mater from the Cars universe. I don't know why I'm talking about Cars so much today. Rhea Ripley looked bad because of Nia Jax. That's just my take. It was predictable. Overall, pay-per-view, 8 out of 10. It's a PLE. Fuck you. It's a pay-per-view. 8 out of 10. And that was Saturday. What else happened this weekend? Oh, yeah. You think I was going to have this whole episode without talking about the NBA? Sorry. Without talking about the NCAA court storming controversy? Should we ban court storming? It's about time they ban people storming the court. No, how about we just educate these dumbass fans? How about we educate the casuals? I love casuals. I just love the casual fan. I love any fan. I love anyone who loves sports. But if you're going to be a casual, you don't deserve to storm the field. You don't deserve to storm the court. You know what I'm saying? Wake Forest beat Duke on Saturday. And after the win, Wake Forest fans stormed the court. You would think, all right, you beat Duke. Cool, cool, cool. Storm the court. I understand. It's like, what, Duke's 8th loss this season? Keep in mind, Wake Forest was a 2.5-point favorite. Wake Forest was favorite to win this game. Duke was the underdog. You're not. Why are you storming the court? I'd be storming those stairs. I'd be storming my way to beat traffic. What are you storming the court for? Duke, what are you going to do? You name five players. Name the starting lineup for Duke right now. Exactly. Thank you. Name their head coach. Thank you. And that's coming from a casual. And I guarantee all those Wake Forest casuals. Whatever. So they storm the court. A fan runs into Duke center, Kyle Flipkowski. Banged his knee up. Flipkowski fell from the collision. Ends up injuring his knee. However, Kyle Flipkowski thinks that this was intentional. He thinks this Wake Forest fan, if you watch the video, Wake Forest fans are talking shit, running around. He thinks this Wake Forest fan straight up, knee to knee, was smarter. I don't know. Basically, blaming, saying it was intentional. Thinks he was smart enough to bang his knee and fuck it up. How? How is it intentional? Calm down, brother. 3 days later, he said he still feels off. He might not play Wednesday against Louisville. His timeline is questionable, status unknown. So dramatic, because this man gets his 5 minutes of fame. Oh, he averages 16.9 points per game. Congrats. Congrats. You're a tall-ass white center in the ACC. Yeah, you're probably going to average 16, 17 points a game. But just wait till a better center comes through. Especially now, I don't respectfully, while some people are agreeing with him, I think making this argument and crying about how you got himself hurt, how you're not him, he's still not himself after the collision, blaming that it was intentional. Yes, we feel bad for you. Yes, it's a problem. Storming the court's a problem. It's diluted. It's a diluted celebration. It's like when high school kids, I don't know if y'all remember this, when high school kids were throwing powder in the air in like 2016 for football games, it was cool for a little bit till everyone did it. Now let's step back. I bet if some kids did it now, let's bring that trend back. Hey kids, next school season, throw some powder in the air when your team gets an upset. It'll look sick. I think that's how it is with this. Let's sit back a little bit. Let's stop doing it. And then finally, in a year or two, when somebody does it again, it's going to be sick. And then somebody does it once or twice. Once a season, twice a season. Same with storming the football field. Dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb. Boring. Unless you're being the number one team in the nation, boring. Unless you're being a top five team, sit down. Go home. Go drink. Go to the bars. Go talk to people. You want to be in the moment so bad. You want to have that TikTok moment. It's not going to be cool when 110,000 people have the same TikTok moment as you. That's my message, just court stormers, field stormers. But also, Kyle Flabowski, shut the hell up. You're fine. Rub some dirt on it. Take off Wednesday. It's Louisville. You're going to win without. They're going to win without you. They're not going to miss your two assists a game. Have your 5 minutes of fame. Come back on Saturday. Don't ban court storming. How about we just educate the casuals and let them know that they don't deserve to storm the court unless they can name three off the bench. Me included. That's why you'll never see me storm a court, because I can't name three off the bench. But if I could, damn well, I'd be on that fucking court. All right, moving on. College basketball. Real quick, while I'm looking for my next notes. Houston looks good. Purdue, I think, what, Houston 1, Purdue 2, UConn 3, something like that. Houston's my favorite. I love both Houston and Purdue. Houston, I've always been a Houston fan, so shut the hell up. Don't say nothing. Purdue, I joined the bandwagon this year. Ironic that they're 1-2. Fuck UConn. Can't stand UConn. A&M looks like shit. They can't shoot. They can't. Their shooting is so sloppy. Just makes me so mad. MLB. Let's move on to baseball. College baseball. A&M looks good. I think they're, what, ranked number 7. But they haven't done anything. They haven't played anyone big yet. We'll see what's up. They look good, though. Pitching looks phenomenal. MLB. Let's talk about the MLB jerseys. Did somebody get in touch with George Costanza? Has somebody talked to George Costanza? Because did somebody take a page out of Seinfeld? This feels very much like the cotton jersey George Costanza situation. MLG, the MLB jersey situation. which I feel like I had pointed out maybe a year ago, maybe, I don't know, maybe I didn't, maybe I did, but I've always said, and I said this with the NBA too, the alternate jerseys are so disgusting. The NFL alternate jerseys have, I'm sorry, the Nike alternate jerseys have been the most disgusting things I've ever seen for a long while. But here's the rundown, here's the history. Since 2019, Nike has been a part of the MLB. The MLB used a different company before to make their jerseys, a little random ass company. I don't know who the I don't know who they are. But Nike was like, "Yo, we'll pay us $1 billion, we'll make your jerseys." Bet. So $1 billion later, Nike's like, "We're going to start making your jerseys." Psych, we're handing this out to Fanatics. Fanatics is going to make the jerseys. We're going to throw our logo on it. Also, we're going to make all the random, what are the hometown hero jerseys or whatever. City heroes. City Connect jerseys. The most disgusting. Rockies, green and white. I think they're disgusting. Personally, not a fan of a lot of this. A couple of them are clean. I'll give it to them. But most of them, not a fan of. Anyway, so City Connect jerseys are already a problem. And then this year, they go Fanatics, who makes a lot of the companies, like the big four of sports. They're about to make the NHL's jerseys next year, which God pray for the NHL, because if they're anything like the MLB, they're going to ruin NHL jerseys. But they're about to make the NHL jerseys next year. They make like WWE merch. They make all the major sports merch, NASCAR merch, yada, yada, yada. So they're like, yo, Fanatics is going to make the jerseys now. Fanatics might as well have gotten with Temu, and you basically get the Temu Wish version of jerseys this year. The smaller sizing and print, the more curved, more sloppy-looking, childish-looking lettering. The Nike logo, which I've already been a fucking hater on, smack dab in the jersey since 2019. And some teams have ads on their patches. Like, I'm pretty sure I got a Gridiron Jabroni patch on the Milwaukee Brewers, on the fucking butt flap of the Milwaukee Brewers. You see my logo. Paid $2.99 a month for that. It was pretty sick. And I get a free sub sandwich. So they're adding themselves out like a bunch of like the classifieds. Got lost dogs on the pant sleeves. Got a lawnmower for sale. Partly used lawnmower on his glove. Need a lawyer? Check the back. Need a lawyer? Check the bat. Call my number. 1-800-MLB-BAT. That's 1-800-MLB-BATS. Check the bats. And then the lawyers and phone numbers on every MLB bat. And he pays $5 a bat. Anyway. So, yeah, back to the story. He's a Fanatics. Terrible. They go for a simplistic look. The embroidered kind of stitched look that you're used to with the jerseys, no longer there. The fabric thinner. The numbers are perforated now. So it looks like practice jersey material, kind of. You can see through the jerseys. The pants, schlongs are out. You can just... I don't know who the reporter is, but if you go on X, some reporter pointed out like the schlongs on all the practice pants, and now you can see through them. You can see their girdles or their like, you know, pads or whatever. It's embarrassing. It's just embarrassing. And you know what? The price of production cost has obviously gone down. The logos are screen printed. The lettering isn't even. The Dodger logo, you can see the difference between the D, the middle D. Yeah, the side patches are no longer embroidered. They're screen printed. And you can just tell this jersey is a lot cheaper. Well, it's a $450 for an authentic jersey online. But you can tell that jersey probably cost $200. Not even, because it's $150 for a replica jersey. But I can guarantee that jersey probably cost $60 to make. I think it's embarrassing that I can go on DHK right now and get a better quality jersey than I can at an MLB shop. And that's embarrassing. And I'm an MLB fan and someone who's trying to become like a big fan this year and like really follow the sport. The drastic quality change is shit. And they're getting called out for it, and the MLB is like, they'll get used to it. They'll get used to it. Get George Costanza out of there. Or actually, get George Costanza in there. I guarantee they prefer cotton uniforms over this shit. DHgate, I'm coming for you. Nolan Jones jersey, probably coming from DHgate. I'm probably going to get one. I know someone who's going to a game a couple weekends after the opening weekend. So I'm going to have a Nolan Jones authentic jersey. And then I think I'm going to get a Nolan Jones replica jersey. And then we'll compare it on the pod to see what they're like. Who's Nolan Jones? Who's Nolan Jones? Shut the hell up, I'll tell you. Here's a confession. I've never been proud to admit this, but I think it's time, especially if I want to get into the sport heavy this year. You guys know I'm a Houston Astros fan. Everyone knows that. I've always argued that I've been a fan since we were the Astros. Craig Biggio, Jeff Bagwell, other guys. But while I was an Astros fan, they were really bad back in the early 2000s. Astros, I also became a Rockies fan. Why the Rockies? Well, I was tired. Well, I learned early on that the NL and AL were a thing. And switch of divisions and yada, yada, yada. And I was just tired of having bad teams. It was like about 2012 when I wanted to become a Rockies fan. And the Astros were sucked. They were getting all right, but they sucked. And I was like, who else is bad? Let me jump on a bandwagon that's going to get good. And it was the Rockies. Purple. The mountains. I'm an Avalanche fan. Same thing. Bad team. Landeskog. McKinnon. Hopped on the bandwagon early. But the Avalanche actually panned out. The Rockies, they were in the same boat as the Rangers, the Padres, the Brewers, the Orioles, Diamondbacks. They were all in the same boat. Young, shitty, farm systems are going to be okay. Potential. And they all panned out. Diamondbacks and Rangers last year in the World Series. Orioles are looking amazing. Their farm system's crazy. Padres had their moment. Brewers are okay. The Rockies, they just never came through. And when your team is this bad, and you have the Astros to root for still, what do I gotta brag about? Just keep it to myself. It was a me thing. It was for me. The Rockies are for me. But now the Rockies are for you guys, and I'm letting y'all know. When was the last time we had a winning record? 7 years? This year, is it hot take? Hot freaking take. The Rockies are winning at least 80 games this year. No. Hot take. The Rockies. Okay, let's be real. Realistic, this is a jabroni hot take right here. A jabroni Kev hot take. The Rockies win at least 70 games this year. The Rockies win at least 80 games this year. I'll say it. Nolan Jones. All right, the pitching sucks. We lost, what's his name, Jermaine? You got Kyle Freeland. You got Austin Gomber. None of them are great, I know. But you got Nolan Jones. You got Charlie Blackman. Hopefully, old boy from the Cubs. Hasn't Chris Bryant? He's played like what, maybe 70 games since they signed him. He's played 30% of his contract games, and we signed him for so much. What are we doing? Hopefully he pans out. Hopefully the bats just need to learn to come alive, and I think that's a problem. And I think they can. I think if the bats come alive, I think the Rockies have a chance. I think they're young. Nolan Jones. That's my saving grace is Nolan Jones. I'm on the bandwagon and I'm feeling good about it. Let me believe that we can win at least 80 games this year. Arizona came out of nowhere. Baltimore came out of nowhere. Let us come out of nowhere. Let us compete for a playoff spot. Rockies, I'm riding with the Rockies, and I want everyone to understand that. The Rockies, to me, used to be a tier 3 fandom. Can I be honest? I think they're going to be a tier two for me this season. They're feeling like a tier two right now. And I think that's okay. What are you talking about? Oh, you don't understand my tier ranking? Oh, you want to know the tier ranking? So next week we'll preview the tier ranking. And just understand this. There's 3, 2, 1.5. Those are my tiers. Think of it as a pyramid. 3 is the bottom. 3 is like the weakest fandom, you know, the weakest, still a big fan, but not like a diehard. 2 is stronger. 1 is the strongest. 0.5 is like, this is my team, ride or die. 0.5 is my Texas A&M football. 0.5 is my Houston Texans. That's not even like a, that's not even a spoiler that y'all should know that. Just, we'll go through those. We're claiming bandwagons next week. That's the plan for our next episode. Next episode, we're claiming bandwagons. And just know, I think I'm parking the Rockies at a 2, could move up to a 1. Meanwhile, I'm keeping the Astros at a solid 2. Solid 3. I think we're going to park the Astros at a 3 this year. We'll go through that next week. But the Rockies, I need y'all to understand, I am a Rockies fan. Nolan Jones. Blackman, this is Blackman's probably last year. Charlie Blackman's last year. Chris Bryant, for the love of God, play half the season at least. Do your freaking job, and maybe they have a chance. Austin Gomber used to be something. Kyle Freeland used to be something. Then they get Freeland from the Guardians. With one of them they got from the Guardians. Anyway. At least we're not the A's. But at least the A's have an excuse. It's just hard to be a fan of the 29th best team. Maybe not this episode, next episode, on the upcoming episode, my plan for the offseason. We're going to do some MLB previews. Opening day is what? A couple weeks? Mid-March? Opening day is in a few weeks. And these are the teams I want to talk about this year. These are the teams. Gridiron jabronis of the gridiron, my baseball gridiron heads, my baseball jabroni heads. These are the teams we will be following on this program. The Rockies, the Astros. Teams I will be not fans of, but keeping an eye on, and also previewing this year, the Orioles. The Tigers, the Cubs, and then because I figured, fuck it, we're missing one team from the division, let's take them. We'll preview the Mets. So we have the Rockies, the Cubs, the Mets, and then the Astros, the Orioles, and the Tigers. Probably going to split that into 2 episodes. We'll see what's up with that. But that is the plan. That's the MLB preview. We're going to preview some MLB. We're going to try to talk some MLB. We're going to try our darnest to watch 50 games this year. That is the goal. We're trying to watch at least 50 games. Diehard Astros fan. Don't get me wrong. But the bandwagon's starting to grow. And I need to show my love to a little bit other team. To a team that needs it a little bit more. I can take a little bit of my love away because they have so much right now. The Astros have so much support. I need to put that energy to a team that needs the support and a team that deserves it, and that's the Rockies. So I'm claiming myself as a Rockies fan this year, claiming myself on the bandwagon, claiming to watch 50 games this year, claiming to be a Nolan Jones supporter, a Nolan Jones bandwagoner. 50 games I'm watching, and we're winning at least 80 games. Rocky Nation. I need Rocky fans to stand up. I need Rocky fans to flood the comments. And I need Rocky fans to join the cult following. Gridiron Jabroni is a Rocky baseball podcast. We're calling it. I'm calling it right now this season until we lose some momentum. Rocky baseball podcast. Gridiron Jabroni, the unofficial podcast for Colorado Rocky fans. Tag it. Pin it. Tell your friends. We're getting close to the end of the episode, guys. I did a lot of yapping. But You thought I was going to go through this whole episode without talking about the NFL, baby? The NFL? Let me break down to you what's going to happen in the NFL within the next 2 months, 3 months, before we hit May. Right now, I talked about it last episode. Right now, we're in the middle of the franchise tag situation. Teams have the opportunity to franchise tag. Athletes, I don't think anyone's been franchise tagged yet. Nothing crazy. Who retired from the Buccaneers? I saw it. It just broke news as we're recording. Buccaneers linebacker Shaquille Barrett has been released. The Buccaneers have released linebacker Shaquille Barrett. I wonder why. Probably asking for too much. I wonder if that's what it is. That's insane. He got released. That's breaking news on my end. The Raiders have no plans on trading Davante Adams this season, so they're going to stick with him. Russell Wilson is still up for decisions on what they're going to do with him. Justin Fields is currently possibly up for trade. There's been a lot of talks about that. Potential trade rumors for Justin Fields. Players that won't be franchise tagged and are heading to free agency include Tony Pollard, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, and Saquon Barkley. A lot of running backs. Are all these running backs, you're going to have the Titans, the Cowboys, the Giants, Raiders, Rams, all needing running backs. Not sure what they're going to do there. The Giants are unlikely to tag Saquon for $12 million. The Raiders don't want to tag. They for damn sure don't want to tag Josh Jacobs at $14 million. And the Bengals ended up tagging T. Higgins. I did not see that. He wanted to leave, though. That sucks, dude. I kind of wanted T. Higgins to come to Houston. I think Houston still has a chance to get Mike Evans. Back to the timeline before we get to free agency. The Combine is this weekend. Combine actually starts today. The NFL Combine from today to March 4th. Going to see a lot of athletes. I think Jaden Daniels isn't throwing. I think Sam Howell isn't throwing. A couple good QBs aren't throwing. They're waiting for pro days. Free agency teasers. Free agency is March 11th is the day that free agency, like, you know what I'm saying? When it starts, but it doesn't start. When the coaches can just talk to the players and see what's up and see how they're feeling and what do they think. And nothing official, but we're going to see what's up. But nothing official. You didn't agree to nothing. But how do you feel about this? But not, I'm just kidding. But it could. But you got to wait till March 13th. Because March 13th is the start of the new NFL season. And let me hear it. Drum roll, please. Blah, 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 blah. The start of NFL free agency. And we do NFL free agency all the way until April 25th, where the NFL draft will be in the dirty city of Detroit. So, right now, we got the Combine. We'll talk about the Combine next episode, what happened there. While we're waiting on that, let's check some NFL free agency teasers. Some players who are up for, or who are up in the free agency pool, I'm sorry. Kirk Cousins, who the big one I've been seeing a lot, not a big fan of. Chris Jones is the number one player in the free agency pool. I forgot about Chris Jones, and I haven't talked about him much. The defensive tackle out of Kansas City, Houston probably won't get him. But could you imagine Chris Jones with the Texans? That defensive tackle, the defensive line would him and Will Anderson, oh, my God. Jonathan Greenard, oh, my God, crazy. Kirk Cousins tore his Achilles, but I don't really know. I'm looking at the NFL top 100 free agents. We're looking at the top 10. Kirk Cousins at number 2. I don't believe so. What, he's 36. I don't think anyone picks him up. And if they do, for cheap, for dirt cheap, maybe someone like Atlanta. someone like the Bears, someone who can't get a quarterback, somebody who stumbles the bag, fumbles the bag and doesn't get a quarterback. Maybe he gets picked up after or midseason, in the middle of the season with an injury. I don't see it. Josh Allen, the edge rusher coming out of the Jaguars. Forgot about him. We'll see where he goes. Christian Wilkins, another defensive tackle. I'm sorry, Christian Wilkins from the Dolphins. Dolphins will probably end up keeping him, though. Other big names, Justin Madubuik coming out of where? Texas A&M. Right? Make sure I'm right. Yep, Justin Madubuik coming out of Texas A&M. He is a free agent as well. Had a pretty good couple years with the Ravens. Didn't get franchise tagged, but could possibly still come. Other big names, Michael Pittman, Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Greenard, Calvin Ridley. Anyone else? Xavier McKinney? Oh, Stephon Gilmore. We'll have to see. I haven't really looked at free agency. We'll get into it next episode, and we'll have to look more into that. I think that's it, guys. That's the episode. That's all I have. That was the NFL. It wasn't a lot, but I didn't want to leave y'all hanging, so I at least wanted to give y'all a timeline and bring up some names. Who do you guys think? Drop it down in the comments. Who do you guys think, if anyone, will pick up Kirk Cousins? Do you guys think anyone will trade Chicago for Justin Fields? Do you think Atlanta? Did y'all hear about Atlanta, the coach with the whole quarterback controversy? How do you think Desmond Ridder feels right now with Atlanta not really wanting him? A lot of situations going on. Who was it? Raheem Morris on Atlanta being closer to contention than one might think. If we had a better quarterback player, I might not be standing here on the podium. Desmond Ridder, you're gone. Let me know who you think Atlanta picks up. Follow me on X. Follow me on Instagram. Follow me on TikTok. At Jabroni Kev. Everything's the same now. At Jabroni Kev. At Jabroni Kev. Send me a DM. Send me your questions. Send me your voice memos. Send me your replies. Send me your takes. Send me your stories. I will read it all on the show. I want to hear from you guys. Let's set up a community. I'm trying to get something going, guys. I'm trying to get you guys' voice. I'm tired of people saying, let me be on the show. Let me be on the show. I am giving you the opportunity to be on my show. I am giving you the outlet and the chance to be on the show. It's right there. At Jabroni Kev, all social medias. Let me hear from y'all, and you will hear back live on the show. Don't know what else to say. I'm being productive. I'm staying live. Been doing stand-up. Catch me live around town. I'll be posting that. Catch my TikTok, show it some love. Show my Instagram some love. Don't forget to share this. It was good. Again, we're yapping for most of the episode. What do you expect? We got a lot, though. We hit a lot of points. A lot of random sports. Next episode, we'll go through the combine. We'll talk some more college basketball.
Playoffs?
I'm sticking with combine. I appreciate you guys, though. I will see you guys next time. Thank you guys so much. Love y'all. Stay safe.
Playoffs?
You got barbecue back there? Hurt my feelings.
I'm here with my family.
You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.